today. Welcome, welcome.
And on behalf of New Life, again, we would like to welcome you here. So we're glad you made it. If you are new today, there is a welcome desk out there that you could come and say hi. We will be out there, and you can say hi to us. We have a free gift for you. If you are watching online, hello, welcome as well. You all look great this morning. You can also click on a little link that says, I'm new, and that will take you to navigate you through the system there, and you can let us know that you're also here. And if you're watching outside, welcome to you. You got beautiful weather today.
So we're hoping that you got a program that looks like this. And so some of the things that are in it are online also. So those of you watching online, you can find it online. But one of them is the mentoring program. So
yes,
Marty is involved in that.
The mentoring program has been a huge blessing to me. So it's a give and a get. It's wonderful. And not only for the men, but the women are also starting a mentoring program. So Bruce and Jerry, the husband and wife team extraordinaire, will be out on the patio today. If you have any calling at all to be mentoring someone, or if you need a mentor yourself, please check the table out outside.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll come out to Connection today. Come out to the table where Bruce and Jerry are and find out a little bit more about mentoring. And some of the other things going on this week is, one of them is the Senior Brunch and Bible is this Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So once again, you can sign up on the app or you can come to Connection and we'll help you get signed up there. And then on Thursday, it is National Day of Prayer. So they'll be doing prayer time here at 9 o'clock that they do with all the staff, and you're welcome to join them for that. But they're also going to have the prayer walk open all day Thursday. So if you want to just come and pray for the nation there, that's a great time to do that.
Yeah, Stacy and I did that this morning. It's just a beautiful, peaceful place to be.
Yeah, it's great. So as we get ready to worship, this has kind of been a rocky week for us. So those good times and those bad times, some of those times of just really questioning, God, what are you doing? And it's easy to get surrounded by those questions, the anger, the frustration. And yet, through it all this week, we kind of had to go back to here, what do we know? And what we know is that God is in charge. And what we know is that we are surrounded by Him. So as we start our worship today, let that really be your anthem. I'm praying that it can really rise you up as you're in the different battles, that you can go back to, it may feel like we're surrounded, but really we're surrounded by Him. So please stand up, and may this be your anthem today.
And as you stand up, take a deep breath, let it out slowly, and invite the Holy Spirit in.
The presence of my enemy. just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Come on, let's sing this out as a declaration. Sing this out, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over.
So this morning, I would love to teach you a new song. Is that okay? it's called Fighting for My Soul.
It's a song that I wrote, and I just released it. And this, I'm not up here to like promote the song, but I really would love to invite you into the truth of what it is that what is saying. And the song is written as a declaration of trust in God. And it's about facing our futures with hope and confidence because of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I get hit with the fear of sudden disaster. It's like all of a sudden I freak out and I don't know what's gonna happen next. And as this song came forth, the Lord just reminded me that, Jenna, I've already gone before you. Therefore, your invitation is to rest, knowing that your days have been authored by me. You don't have to fear what stands next because I've already gone before you. I'm with you now and I'm with you in it. So that is the core of this song. And though it was not directly taken from Psalm 91, I do want to read a verse that's not going to be up on the screen, because this psalm has been my go-to when I'm hit with those fears. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. So we're just going to sing the chorus first. I'm going to sing it and then you'll join me if you can catch it. And my encouragement, I know the song is new, but I would just ask that you would posture your heart in such a way to allow the Lord to speak to you through this song. So it goes like this. You're fighting for my soul. You've already gone before me, Lord. Every battle you have won. All my days will rest secure, 'cause you're fighting for my soul. Let's sing that out together. Let's try it. You're fighting for my soul. You've already gone before me, Lord. Every battle you have won. And all my days will rest secure, 'cause you're fighting for my soul. Let's sing this chorus out one more time.
Sing, you're fighting for my soul.
It's true.
And you've already gone before me, Lord. Every battle you have won. Oh. And all my days will rest secure, 'cause you're fighting for my soul.
God, we just, we thank you that you see us, God, that you have looked and you have seen our soul and you have found its worth, God, that you declare our souls worthy enough for the battle, that you have entered into our battles for us, God, that you have gone before us. God, I just pray this morning that you would replace our doubts with your hope, God. We just pray that you would just awaken our hearts this morning to you, to your presence, to your love. God, everything we do this morning is in response to that love, whether it be through our songs, whether it be through our offerings or our service, God, it is all for you and for your glory. We thank you that you love us so much that you're willing to go to battle for us, God. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and it's in your name we pray, amen. You can have a seat. You know, God is just so cool because I just think that it is just so amazing that the Holy Spirit laid upon Jenna's heart those words, fighting for our soul, that God would go into battle for us. Kind of around the same time that the Holy Spirit laid on Pastor David's heart to do a series about our everyday battles. Isn't that just amazing how that comes together? I just think God is just so cool when he does that. We're going to continue in our worship. I'd like to invite our ushers forward to receive our offering today. This your first time here, you're just checking out this whole God thing, please don't feel any obligation to participate. You're obviously more than welcome to, but we just hope that you feel received. This is a way that we show God that he has the first place in our heart, that we come together and we give God the things that he's already given to us and trust in him that he's gone before and that he's going to multiply it. And God really has been multiplying it and using the gifts that you guys have given. One of the ways that the Lord has really been using the people of New Life in some extraordinary ways is through our encouragement team. I know if I had a show of hands, how many people have received something from the encouragement team? There would be hands all over the place. Because they have just done such a fantastic job of coming alongside people, no matter what they're going through, and just bringing a little bit of sunshine into their lives. And we've started this new thing a couple weeks ago. I like to affectionately call it Encouragement Corner, even though it is not a corner in the literal sense of the word. But it is right here in the lobby as you exit out. If you're inside the building, it's right in the lobby right here, and it's on the wall. There are these cards, and all the cards have been, they're handwritten, and they have all been prayed over, and they're for some very specific things. So I would encourage you to stop by whenever you're here. There might be one that jumps out at you this morning. I picked one up because it said, for the one who works in ministry, and I felt like, okay, God, I see you. So I took this. I'm going to read it when I get home, and I know it's going to encourage me in my heart and my ministry. And even this week at our last Wednesday class, I had a friend who came to the last Wednesday class, and as she was walking by, she saw one that said something along the lines of who has a hard job or has having a tough time in the office or at work, and she grabbed it, and she read it in her car as she was about to go into work, and she said that it just was the exact words that she needed to hear. So the Holy Spirit is really using these cards and using the encouragement team. So you can also just take it for someone else too. So if you walk by the wall and you say, oh, you know, this was something my mom needs to hear, or my brother, you can take it and give it to someone else. You can also let us know there about anything that you might know about, needs that we might not know of, people who could use some encouragement, and we can make deliveries to them. So we would love for you to partner with all that God is doing through the encouragement team. And my friend who picked up that card, she is a junior high teacher, which
does seem like probably the hardest job in the world. and this week is Teacher Appreciation Week. And God has just put it on our hearts to really love on our teachers this year. So we have some fun, special things that are going to be taking place for our teachers. So I would just love to pray for our teachers. So if you are in education, any level, if you're a school counselor, in administration, anything like that, would you stand? We would just love to pray for you. We don't have any teachers in here. Oh, there we go. Okay. Would you? Yes, thank you. I knew I saw you out there. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you guys do. Would you just extend a hand toward these amazing kingdom workers? God, we thank you for our teachers. We thank you for the gifts that you have given them. We know that days are long, God. Would you surround them with your presence when they're in the classroom, when they're grading tests, when they're dealing with difficult students, God? Students have to deal with a lot of things these days, and these people are a light in their life. God, would you just continue to use them to point people to you, God? God, would you just bless them? Would you bless their families? Would you go before them? Would you give them the words to speak, whether they're speaking about history or they're teaching math, God, or they're just dealing with kids in the office? God, would you just surround them with your presence? Would their words be your words, God? We thank you so much. We just pray that this week that they feel an extra dose of your presence, an extra dose of your love, God, and that they would be reminded that there is an army of believers here at New Life that loves them and is praying for them. We thank you so much, and we know you're going to do all these things. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in week two of our series on Everyday Battles, so would you welcome Pastor Phil?
I'm behind you. Thank you. Just give me some time here. As we were praying this morning, if you ever are up early, which I never am, there's prayer that happens in here at before the service. I think 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30, something like that. And then after that, everyone that's behind the scenes that you don't see, that are not up here on this little stage here. We gather in a room behind this screen, and we gather as just a team because, like, you know, we put time and effort into, like, okay, God, like, what can we do? How can we serve the people that are, like the best way? And as we were doing that, my mind went to, man, like, what is central in our gatherings? And y'all, oh, yeah, I need that too. What is central in our gatherings? And so, yes, the word of God is important. So do not hear me say God's word is not important. But what is God's word pointing to? Who is God's word talking about? That's most important. And so I want to center our gathering around the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Not because it's Easter Sunday, but because this is the early church when they gathered. Their gathering was always centered around the Messiah, the one that came to save not just the Jewish people, but the entire world. Jew and Gentile alike, male and female, slave and free. Paul says we are all one now in Christ. And so what I want us to do is center our focus. And at the end of the service, we will hopefully sing a song called Come and Behold. Because at the end of my message, I want us, our application, if you will, like the practicalness of what we're going to talk about today is simply looking at Jesus. And so I want this to be a reminder for us this whole time we're gathering that we came here not for some karaoke. We did not come here for some TED Talk. We came here to be reminded of who we gather ourselves around and why we worship and why we give our lives as a living sacrifice that's pleasing and holy to God. So, Christ's body broken for us, Christ's blood that was shed for us, that represents a new covenant, a new way that God relates to his people is through Jesus. And I know you know all that, but I'm here to remind you. So I think a lot of things I'm going to say today, you may already know. And praise God for that. But some people in this room that may not know what I'm going to talk about today. But before I get into what I want to talk about, I know we are in a new series. Pastor David started last week. It's called Everyday Holy for Everyday Battles. And we are, as a church community, memorizing Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. And then I know we have these little cards out in the lobby. And each week we are trying to memorize a verse so that by the time we get to next week or over the course of this series, we would have the Word of God hidden in our heart. So what? So that we may not sin against God. That's why we get the Word of God in us. And so I want to read from my Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, because last week we were trying to memorize verse 10. And so if you will, let's stand up for the reading of God's Word, as this is the anchor scripture of our entire series, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. But I'm going to read only two verses today. Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says this, a final word. Before I get there, those who are watching online, please stand up in your home too. I know it's easy to just sit there and like, oh, I'm comfy. No, let's stand up too at home. So I know you're rolling your eyes, but let's stand up too at home. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So this is the verse that we are going to look at this week and memorize, and it's on these cards out on the Connection Central that you can pick up and have in your pocket and keep looking at every single day. Verse 11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. You may be seated. At home, you can sit down. So today, my assignment, my goal, is this light topic of holiness. I know there's a lot of people in this room who have been following Jesus for some time, but there's some people in this room that has not been following Jesus. You have not been following God. You don't know maybe what this term means. I don't need this. And so my goal today is holiness. Specifically, God's holiness. And a question that I want to ask to you today is, how can we pursue holiness in a world that cares nothing about it? In this series of Everyday Holy for Everyday Battles, I think for us in today, in 2022, is our everyday battles is a fight against God, a fight against truth, a fight against what is morally right. And so how do we pursue, run after holiness in a world that cares nothing about this? So I'm going to do this like I do for my, like the high school students and the junior high kids. Please take notes during this service. I don't want to just be up here just to say some cute words to you. I want you to write some stuff down so that when you go home and you remember some stuff, you can have something to look back on. Because in my, when I started following Jesus, I came from North Carolina to California here in Pismo to do Youth with the Mission. And it was in my Youth with the Mission, this missionary school, that I started to learn about this God that we're going to be talking about today. This, more particular, Jesus, who we're going to be talking about today. And more particular, God's Spirit, and who we're going to talk about today. And for me, I was not a follower of Jesus when I came to this school. I was just coming here to do my own thing. And during this six-month school of YWAM, the whole goal of YWAM, Youth with a Mission, is to know God and then to make him known. So the first 3.5 months are to know God, so lecture style. I was not good in school, so this was you know, difficult for me. But I remember having to sit in lecture, take notes each week. We had 12 hours of lecture a week, and different people would come from across the world, across the states, to come and teach us about the Bible and about who the Bible is talking about. And I remember sitting in my little chair taking notes, and I still have my notebook to this day from 2009 of all the notes I took. And I remember after our long day of doing our thing, lecture, lunch, surfing, doing all our stuff, serving our community, I'd go back home, and I was so curious about Jesus. I was so curious about the things I was learning, so I would go back and look at my notes. So I say all that to say, please take notes in here. And if you are on social media, tag us in that so we can repost. because this is just cool to see. I know for me, it's just cool. But take notes, and I hope you have your Bible, because we're going to be in a lot of scripture today. I may not always give you the, like, it's in this chapter, this verse, but it will come off the top of the dome, out of the heart. And so I want you to write stuff down and not forget. Because this is not a country club. This is the house of God, where we come together and learn about the one that we worship. And so we're going to talk about holiness. And I think the term holiness probably has a lot of baggage to some of us. I think it has a lot of things that we think about, that we get our term, our definitions from holiness, I think, from like just how we grew up, the church we were a part of, and all this stuff. And so I think holiness, with our assumptions, may or may not be biblical. I think the way that I used to think about holiness is, I used to think about, because I grew up going to a black Southern Baptist church in North Carolina, and I think when I thought about holiness, I thought about the church ladies who wore the hats. I thought about holiness in a sense of people of what they did not drink, how they didn't, what language they did not use, what outfits they chose to wear. And so this is my assumptions of what holiness, this is what I used to think about holiness. And if those church people were the only example of holiness, that would lead me to believe that I and we must be like them. That I can't cuss, okay? I can't drink alcohol. I can't smoke weed. I can't do this. I can't do that. That's what it means to be holy. And if I think if we look at these church people, and they are an example of holiness, then I think we need to be challenged, because we were never meant to look like, or called to be, to look like one another. I think that the one that we are supposed to look at and understand holiness is God. Why? Because God is holy. God is holy. We are called and commanded to be like God, not like the people that we think are holy. So write this question down. Why should we be holy? Well, I'm glad you asked. Simply put, the scriptures command us to. For those who do not follow Christ, the scriptures are this 66 books in one book. So it's one book made up of 66 other books that all have a story that leads and points to Jesus. So there's different styles of this one book made up of 66 books called the what? Not just the Bible, but the Holy Bible. Why? Because this book is not a regular book. It is a set apart, distinct book. And so we go to the scriptures in, I think we have this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. So write that scripture down. 1 Peter chapter 1 is the first scripture we'll be in today. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, it says this. So you must, so it's an imperative. You have to. This is not a suggestion. You must. It reminds you, who is Peter talking to? He's talking to those who are persecuted in the faith. So those who are already following Jesus. So he says, y'all who are following Jesus, you must. Reminder this morning, we must. We must live as obedient children, or as God's obedient children. So I think that's important, because we can just live as children, but if we, as who are the called out ones, who are the ones who are set apart and look different than the whole world, the ones that have bowed our knee to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if we are the ones who must live as children of God, not just children of God, but obedient children of God. Amen. And for those who have kids, you understand that obedience is a high priority for parents, for our kids. And so obedience, because Jesus says this in the Gospel of John, if you love me, disciple, student, follower of Christ, if you love me, you will what? Obey me. So I think Peter is on to something here. You must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back. I remember going up in North Carolina and being called, not me, but, well, maybe I was called that once, but I don't know. But hearing people say, man, those backsliders. You know, like, have we heard that word before? Backslidden. You know, some of us have heard this term before. Well, Peter says, don't slip back. Follower of Jesus, disciple of Jesus. If you claim the name of Jesus in this room, Peter, the disciple who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, probably the closest to him as well, he's reminding you and I, don't slip back into your old ways. Don't slip back into your old ways, Philip. Live as obedient children. Do not slip back into your old ways of living to what? Satisfy your own desires. And I think John talks about this in 1 John 2, where he talks about the three enemies of our soul, the world, the devil, and our flesh. A lot of times we want to blame God for things going on in our life, but it's because of our own pursuers, of us sliding back into our own evil desires. And then we want to blame God for things that he did not do. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. We thought we knew better. But he says, you didn't know any better back then before you knew Jesus. When you first came to know Christ, you didn't know any better. Verse 15, but now you must, again, imperative, this is, you must be holy. You must be holy in everything that you do, just as God who chose you is holy. You must be holy. This does not speak of what we do. It speaks of who we are. Be holy. This is our new identity in Jesus. If this is our new identity, why are we continuing to find our identity in what we look like? Why are we continuing to find our identity in who we vote for? Why do we continue to find our identity in who we circle ourselves around? Why do we continue to find our identity in what clothing we wear? Why do we continue to find our identity in social media? Why do we continue to find our identity in any other place than what God has called us? He has called you, beloved, holy. He uses the term holy once here. But as we'll get to later in Isaiah 6, and I won't go there, but Revelation 4, we see this idea of who God is. And he's not just holy, but our God is holy, 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 which means most holy. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says this, and that phrase is very important. The scripture says this. Why? Because we are a people who are about the scriptures. So if we are continuing, whoever's up here on this platform that opens up God's word and proclaims God's excellencies and his beauty to you, if we don't continue to go back and says the scripture says, you should leave. I heard one laugh. Why do I say that? Because the scriptures are important for those who have been called out of the world into God's light, out of darkness, into God's light. The Constitution is great. Praise God for that, right? The scriptures though, if we are not people of the text, people of the scriptures, where are we getting our orders from? Where are we getting our example from? You hear what I'm saying? As the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. I love that. So to understand holiness, we have to look at God because God himself is holy. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, how much time do I got? Oh, we got plenty of time. Isaiah chapter 6. When I first started to hear about Isaiah 6, specifically Isaiah 6, we always go to Isaiah 6, 8, right? Like for me at least, Isaiah 6, 8 was like always like, man, as a missionary who first started following Jesus, I was called into missions full time for 6.5 years. That's where I met my wife, who's up here on the front row. She's from Texas and I'm from North Carolina, and we met here in Pismo. Why? Because this missionary school. And when you go into missions, I feel like missions always capitalize on this Isaiah 6, 8, which says, "Who?" Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to the people? Who shall go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That's always been like an anthem scripture in missionary circles. You know, like, "Man, here I am, God, send me to the nations," which is good. But we forget Isaiah 6, 1 through 7. And so I want you to look at Isaiah, write it down. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. He's one of the prophets of God, those who have been called out to speak on behalf of God to the people of God. In Isaiah 6, 1. How y'all doing? Because periodically I will have to take some sips of water. Just want to let you know. So let's read this. It was in the year that King Uzzah died that I saw the Lord. If you have a Bible, please highlight and circle, "I saw the Lord." Now, you don't have to, it's a free country, but it's sacred in my Bible because we're gonna come back to that thought. "I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each giving 6 wings." It's crazy. We have to just stop. My wife does a very good job at this with our 2 girls and with just us in general. When we come across things like this in scripture, we think it's normal. This ain't normal. These seraphim are not normal. And it goes on to explain what they look like. They have 6 wings. I've not seen anything with 6 wings in my life. No insect, no bug. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. And with 2, they covered their feet. And with 2, they flew. And in Revelation, it kind of gives some more description of these seraphim of like each wing has eyes all over them too. Can you imagine? If you saw one of these things, we would, you think Halloween is scary. So I want you to observe what we're reading here, because a part of Bible study is observing what you're reading. Some of you educators know this very well, which we love you educators. You have, we're talking about everyday, holy everyday battles. Y'all are in some everyday battles. Golly, I know it's not funny, but still. Sometimes all you can do is laugh. Oh man, y'all are in a battle. Anyway, I don't wanna just miss the observation of this. And what were they doing? This is important of what Isaiah comes into the throne room of God to encounter what these seraphim are doing. They're not just doing anything. They're doing something specific. Verse 3, they are calling out to each other. If I had a handheld, I would yell. But I can't do it in this thing. Unless you work with me, I ain't going to do it. No. And they're crying out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple. Can you imagine someone's voice shaking this building? We can't imagine it. So the amount of power, the amount of reverence we should be having for not just these creatures, but who they're shouting about. And I know a lot of times we get up here and we want to talk about different people in the Bible, like Paul or Peter or Jesus, who these people are, which we should always talk about Jesus, but like, we're going to be talking about God today. And specifically, Jesus is who Isaiah is seeing. Because in John chapter 12, verse 41, write this scripture down. It's not going to be on the screen for you. John chapter 12, verse 41, we get a glimpse into who Isaiah saw. John talks about, says he saw Jesus. So from us in 2022, we have the observation and the Bible study methods that we can see what Isaiah saw and know who we are talking about. He just saw a being, and when he saw him, we'll get there. The voice shook the temple and its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over, I'm doomed." Are you following what? So Isaiah hears, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Our whole earth is filled with it." So he hears this holy, holy, holy anthem, this melody. And then as the temple and the earth shakes and it filled with smoke, he saw the Lord. And what happens when he saw the Lord? He fell down as though he was dead. And his response to seeing God, his response after seeing God, which we'll get to at the very end, was repentance. When I gazed, when I look at the Lord, I fell down as though I was dead. It's all, and his words that he proclaimed was, it's all over. I am doomed. For I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. And I live among a people with filthy lips. So you see the progression. He saw the Lord and he went straight to himself. I am wicked. I am unholy. I am nothing like this God that I'm seeing. And then he goes to people. So then he doesn't see this God and says, man, y'all are a bunch of unholy people. He says, no, I am unholy first. And then I live amongst people with unclean lips. So you see the progression as when we, as the people of God, see the Lord high and lifted up, our response is, woe is me. Romans chapter 1 gives us a picture. This is not in the notes or on the screen either, but write this down. Romans chapter 1 gives us this idea of when people start to not follow God anymore and they love their darkness more than the light, God is not honored. I got time. Romans chapter 1. Verse 19, they know the truth about God because he has been made obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Though everything God made, they can clearly see who? His invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so that they have no excuse for not knowing God. So the scriptures is declaring that because of creation, because of the sky, because of God, things that God created, no person on the earth has no excuse not knowing God. In what? In all that God created, that's how we can see his divine power and his divine nature. Yes, they knew God, but they would not worship him as God or even give him thanks. There is a right way to worship God, and there is a wrong way to worship God. When we see him, we honor him and we give thanks to him. So when we start to gather like this on every Sunday or our last Wednesdays or on youth group on Wednesday nights with junior high and high school, and this is what we're teaching, me and Christy are teaching our junior high and high schoolers to do, is to rightly worship God, to behold him, to put our eyes on him, not on our circumstances, but on him, to remind about how good he is, not how good we are, because we are trifling, we are filthy rags. But thanks be to God that when we were still dead in our sins, he saved us. And because he saved us and called us out of the darkness and into the light, in his marvelous light, we worship him rightly. According to Romans 1, we honor him as God and we give thanks because he is God. Because if we don't do that, the scriptures go on to say, and they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. What foolish idea do I have about God? What foolish idea that I have made up, that you have made up about God, that needs to be corrected this morning, that needs to be lovingly corrected by our lovingly Father, because the scriptures declare that he loves those who he corrects. So what foolish idea of that we have about God? Because I think when it comes to this, the idea of holiness, we start to put these weird inclinations about how God's holy. Well, and we only start to look at God's wrath when it comes to holiness. I mean, yeah, him being holy. And we start only talking about hell when it comes to God's holiness. But yet when it comes to God's holiness, it's two things. I want you to write this down. As holy, it means two things. One, God is morally pure, which means God is perfect. God cannot sin. God cannot do any wrong. God cannot do any injustice. Morally pure. The second thing is God is transcendent, meaning he is above and beyond us. He is unlike us. He is unique. He is distinct. He is different. He is special. He is separate. He is sovereign. So when you think about God's holiness, it's not just a he's angry and he's going to send everybody to hell. No, when you think about God's holiness, he is so set apart. He's so holy that he is nothing like us. The scriptures in Isaiah says, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways, that he actually uses the earth that we are on right now, this beautiful earth, as a footstool to put his feet on. So he is not anything like us, and yet we want to always image God like us. And yet the Bible says in the first page of the Bible that when God created humans, man and female, he created them. He created us in his image and in his likeness, not the other way around. And y'all know all this. But I'm just here to remind you about who we're talking about. This God that cannot do wrong. This God who will never betray you. This God who will never leave you like my earthly dad left me. This God who will never betray us like some of your friends have betrayed you. When we think about God, we cannot think of him as normal, as regular. He is beyond us. He's better than us. That's why he's God and we're not. I remember hearing as a little kid in the Black Southern Baptist Church, God is God all by himself. And they would say, he don't need any help. And for some reason, that phrase stuck with me. As a little kid, God's God all by himself. I think that's good because if we create a God in our image, in our likeness, that is an idol. And idols need us to give it life instead of God has life in himself. Because he says through Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of heaven. I am the living water that flows. I am that I am. I have always been, I will always be, and I am. This is what makes God different. This is what makes God's, him being holy, different. Not just holy, but holy, holy, holy. No attribute of God, no character or nature of God in the scriptures is talked about in three times other than God's holiness. It doesn't say God is love, love, love. Or good, 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 it says, no, he's holy, holy, holy. And when we as the people of God begin to see him as such, it affects our everyday life. It affects our everyday life for everyday battles. You're sitting here thinking, God, like, Philip, how are you trying to just tell me about God and how's that going to help my everyday life? Because once we see him rightly, because we have a lot of misconceptions about who God is. We have a lot of misconceptions about God's holiness. And once we begin to see him, not from what we have learned from culture, but see him from who he is to how he has revealed himself to us, it may look a little differently than our traditions from Southern Baptist, from Pentecostal, from Catholic, from Protestant, to Nazarene, to all these different denominations that we have. And that's what was very helpful for me when I was in Youth of the Mission. It was all these interdenominational people coming together to look at him. Did they do it perfectly? No. God is morally pure. God is transcendent. This is what it means for God to be transcendent, that he's sovereign. He's separate from everything. Who is God holy from, set apart from? Everything. And when you and I are called holy, we are separate and called out unto God. And that's what it means for us as a people to be holy. We're not just separate for the nature of being separate. No, we are separate to something, to someone. That's what makes us holy. We are set apart and called out unto God for his purposes. That's why Peter is penning this. We are a holy nation. We are holy, and be holy as he is holy. Be separate and distinct as he is separate and distinct. Yes, God is pure, but God is high, distinct, different, and set apart. So what does holiness mean? Holiness in the root word means to cut or to separate. to cut or to separate. God's purity and transcendence sets him apart from everything there is. Everything was created, Genesis 1:1. God was not. Everything is dependent. God is not. That's what makes him God. And this can be hard to understand when you're dealing with a transcendent God, because God is, there's a mystery to him still. We can't know everything about God. That's what makes him God. That's why Paul says there are some mysteries to this thing called following Jesus, this thing called God, who represents himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God Holy Spirit. There are going to be some mysteries to it. So a question I have for you as well is, if God is both morally pure and transcendent, how does that change us? How does that change us? I'm going to have Jack go ahead and come up here on this little nice piano as I close and come to an end of my message. I do this only for me, not for you, to make me sound more spiritual. If God is both morally pure, write this down. If God is both morally pure and transcendent, how does the created one change us? How does that change us? How does simply knowing more about God change us? How does seeing Jesus in all of his ways, in all of his glory, in all of his goodness, in all of his perfection, in all of his change us? Well, Isaiah, going back to Isaiah 6:1, if you can put that scripture on the screen, Molly. My wife's sister is doing the slides today, and my little daughter up there too is doing them too. It was the year that King Uzzah died that I saw the Lord. This is important because it's when the king died that Isaiah saw. Now, we could just read that and be like, all right, cool, Philip. But no, you have to understand that King Uzzah, he ruled for about 52 years. And he became king of Israel at like 15 or 16. And he ruled for 52 years. And so this is important to know that when the king died, Isaiah saw. When the king died, Isaiah saw. Why is this important? Because when kings and rulers die, God still remains alive. Kingdoms will come, leaders will come, they will come and die, but God will always be alive. He is life. So when you just read that, cool, a king died, and it's in a death of a ruler that we still see the King Jesus, the Lord, still alive, because he is always alive. He's always been, and he will always be. And I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. This is not just talking about a seat up there. Let's talk about his transcendence. That as he is so above the earth, as his thoughts are so higher than our thoughts, his ways are so higher than our ways, he was sitting on a throne. And we see in Revelation 4 that who is sitting on the throne? The one that is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Well, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, says this, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're talking about Jesus, his cousin. So Isaiah sees Jesus, according to John 12:41. Attending him were these seraphim, and their anthem was, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So he saw this interaction in the throne room, and his response was, I got to fall down. I have to worship him because I am a man. His sin is exposed, basically. In John 3:17-20 talks about this idea that people don't want to come into the light because we love our darkness much more. For our deeds will be exposed. We don't want to come into the light of God's presence. Why? Because when we come into the light of a holy God, our sin is exposed, and not just exposed, but there is forgiveness there. He does not just expose our sin for the sake of exposing our sin. No, he always exposes and gives mercy. As you see in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God and God did not hide from them. They ran away from God and God came near to them. They were naked and unashamed and they wanted to cover themselves, but God said, I will make atonement for what just happened. I will clothe you. So we don't just look at God for the sake of, man, he's so holy and I'm so ratchet. No. We come to the conclusion that God's so holy and I am not, and I start to confess my sins. So when we look at Jesus, when we look at this God that's perfect, we can't help but to see error in our life. We can't help but to see how different he is from us. He is not regular like you and I. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Their voice shook, and then I said, I'm all over, I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man, I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the Lord. When King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord. Yet I have seen the Lord, the King of heaven's armies. Then one of his seraphim flew to me with a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. Then he touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. So now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. When we see God rightly, our sin is exposed, but then God comes to us, not afraid to be with us, and makes us right. One of my top giftings in the church is evangelists. I can't help but to always talk about coming back to God. I can't help but to always talk about what God's done for us as a people and how much that is a good gift, a good thing, good news, gospel. I can't help myself to always go there when I'm teaching. Why? Because as someone who's been following Jesus for 13 years, I still need to be reminded, and you still need to be reminded about the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We think that we're all that in a bag of chips, but God says, no, I am holy. You are not. But because of my holiness and because of what my son has done for you, now you are holy. We cannot earn holiness. We cannot earn our salvation. We don't go to priests and confess our sins and then they give us responsibilities to how do we work for our, no, that's not right. We have one who is our high priest named Jesus. He has dealt with our sin, but also he has given us a way to be right with God, not by keeping the law, but by trusting in him. Where am I at? There's this quote that I want to put up here, and then I have one more scripture. How are you doing? I know it's hot in here. And as I'm going to read this quote, it's going to be on the screen. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm done, I promise. This quote is from a lady called Jackie Hill Perry. And I have her book up here. It's called Holier Than Thou. And the book's subtitle was How God's Holiness Helps Us Trust Him. So the reason we talk about God's holiness, the reason I'm talking about God's holiness is so that we can get a glimpse of how good he is so that we can start to trust him in our everyday life, in our everyday battles. That's what we really need. Yes, we need to armor up, as Pastor David said, but we also need to start to trust God again because he is good. And the quote says this, if God is holy, then he can't sin. If he can't sin, then that means he cannot sin against you. And if he can't sin against you, shouldn't that make him the most trustworthy being there is? That question is so good. And keep this up there so people can have enough time to write it down, take a picture, do something. If he is holy, then he can't sin. If God can't sin, then he cannot sin against you like we do towards one another. And if he can't sin against you, shouldn't that make God, the holy God, the most trustworthy being there is? I highly recommend you get this book, Holier Than Thou by Jackie Hill Perry. And so why does all this matter? Why am I talking about all this? What happens next? How are we changed by God's holiness? How do we trust him because of how good he is? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this in verse 16. It says, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Just like the veil was in the temple. I ain't got time. I'm already over my time. "For the Lord is spirit. He is not male or female." I'm going to throw that out there. He's not confused on who he is. God is spirit. And I'm not throwing shade on anything. I'm just speaking truth. "The Lord is spirit. And wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is God." So all of us, it's a different translation. I want to read it in. There we go. "Beholding the glory of the Lord, gazing, fixing your eyes, continually looking at, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." How do we become holy? We can't become holy without the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Now, there's some evil spirits in our world. We have a spirit that's holy. You cannot become holy without the Holy One doing a life transformation in your heart. That's why John 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says, the teacher of teachers, mind you, he said, Nicodemus says, "Jesus, how does an old man like myself become new, become reborn again?" And he says, "I gotta teach you these things? You're a teacher, like you're Israel's teacher. Like, you should already know this." And he's like, "Man, I can't go back into my mom's womb and be born again." Jesus probably laughs at him. It doesn't work that way. As you see the wind blow, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it, right? You can feel the wind. Just like the wind blows, we don't know it when it's coming and going. We can't see it. Just as it is with the Spirit of God for those who are reborn. The Spirit of God has to move for us to be reborn. Reborn being holy, looking like Christ. And this whole idea of holiness, sanctification, this process of sanctification it's not complicated. It means once we are become holy and saved and set apart and start following Jesus, now the process until Jesus comes back one day is now that the Spirit of God makes us look like Christ every single day. He has to strip away things in our life. He has to tell you no, which we don't like that. So sanctification, this process of becoming like God. Can you put that scripture back up? The whole beholding. Beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed. Transformed, sanctified, sanctification, holiness. Why do I say at the very end, why does this matter to us? We need to see Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's because when we continue to behold him, we become like him. What you look at for a long time, you start to mimic and look like. Who you listen to, you'll start to act like in the world. So if we, as followers of Jesus and those who do not know Christ yet, if we continue to keep our eyes and behold and keep looking at Jesus, we are transformed into the image of Christ. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. That's why we gather like this, because we are being transformed into the image of Christ, week in and week out. So I have one thing to say. As we're going to sing a song, but maybe we can sing it, I don't know. I hope kids ministry is doing all right. We're going to sing this song called "Come and Behold." You may not know it. Some of you may know it. It's from a group called Maverick City Music. And I wanted to end with this song because I don't want you to leave real quickly to go get brunch or mimosas or whatever you do. I don't know what you do. What I want you to do is reflect, behold, put your eyes, turn back to him. Why? Because he's good, he's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's loving. During this song, I want you to reflect and I want you to repent. If you need to repent, if the Holy Spirit's convicting you of sin right now, because when you see God, we are convicted of our sin. I want you to use this song to reflect and repent if you need to. You can use your chair as an altar, or you can come up to the front. I don't care what you do. Let's just behold Jesus for a second together. You don't have to sing the words. Just gaze your eyes. Put your attention back on him. Don't look to the left or to the right, but look to him, the helper, the Alpha, the Omega, the author of your faith that you have. Look back to him. So let's do this.
Just one glimpse can change my whole perspective. I'm ready to see you rightly, just as you are, just as
Isaiah did.
Completely captivated. You have my heart. Nothing hidden, nothing wasted. I'm ready. I see.
So church, stand to your feet as we are done at 10:20 in the morning. I would apologize, but I'm not going to. So as Pastor David likes to do, which I'm going to try to attempt to do his little commissioning, as you go, I can't do it. Let's be real. That's for real. That's for him and him only. But hey, as we do lead this room, we can, ushers, we can open the doors. I want you to be reminded of Hebrews chapter 12, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down in this everyday holy for everyday battles. Let us strip off everything that, every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, the author, who initiates and perfects our faith. And because he is who he is, we can come to his throne with confidence and boldness and receive mercy from him. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you, church. May he fill you with his spirit and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today.